We're going to ask for there to be an alignment. We wish, first of all, to align our head and our heart. We ask for a strong alignment between our head and our heart. Then we're going to ask for an alignment with each other. We ask for our heart to align with every other heart in the room. And we extend that invitation to everyone who will be listening to this. May our hearts align with the hearts of those who are listening to this. And then we want to ask for an alignment with the field. There is a field of potentials. And we ask for an alignment and a connection between us, every heart in the room, and every heart that is listening to align with the field.
Ah, so it is good day to you, huh? So very good to see your light, your brightness, your divine presence once again. Woohoo! Celebrate that, eh? And as the divine Master Monica brought in that alignment of your energy, we would love to continue with that. For you see, you are made up of 26 feet wide of cellular little atoms and things in your energy field. We don't know the scientific term of it, all those little protons and neutrons and all those little things going in one way or another way or scattering around here or there. And in your body, you have thousands of little telomeres, little things, little hairy things that are longer when you are younger and shorter when you are older. And the longer they are, the longer you would live. Wouldn't you like to live to see people teleporting again? Wouldn't you like to live to see us when we are thinking, oh, we think we want to go down to the ice cream store, and then being there? Or we would like to go to Branson, Missouri to see the vessel Maryland and then being there instead of driving 8 hours or flying. So in that energy, when you have those cells, the telomeres, the cellular structure of your body, all going in the same direction, the universe starts lining up with that. You are connecting everything together. So as you are connecting everything together, your crown, your soul star chakra, as many will call that chakra that's up above your head, and then there's another one up above that, and then your earth chakra, which is down below your feet, and then the other earth chakra that is down below that. And when all of that is aligned, and you feel the joy of balance, breathe into that. Now, what would it feel like if you could actually see your telomeres in your mind's eye, or visualize them, or imagine what they might be like, and feel them getting longer? Let us visualize that. If you don't know what your telomeres look like, make it up. Huh? Because surprisingly, what you make up will be very close to what they are. Take a deep breath. We feel, we sense, we see, we hear and we have a knowingness that the human body has the potential to put itself into perfect divine alignment. To euthen yourself, not euthanize, euthen. We used to say euthanize, and somebody said, that's not the right word you want to use. English, you know, it is so limiting, eh? So you are aligning, and just by aligning yourselves, put your hand on your heart. If you're not, we know people listen to this in the future. If you're driving a car, don't necessarily do that. But put your hand on your heart and see if you can feel that natural beating of your heart. Some of you can actually hear it. And just say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so grateful that this heart just continues to beat and get stronger and more regulated and is also in divine perfection. I am so grateful. And then as the joy would say, I'm abracadabraing my heart. Gratitude. How does that feel, huh? You see, in that energy, you, that is one of your innate abilities to actually, you can leave your hand on your heart, or you can put it in your lap, or put it on your friend's heart, or whatever. Or if there's a stranger sitting next to you, you might ask first. But look at the person sitting next to you's eyes. Just look at them and say, thank you. Thank you for coming here and showing up. And if you see someone, like you two there in the brown sweater and you with the dark hair, you don't have anybody that you're talking to. Talk to each other. And say, thank you. Doesn't it feel good to have someone say thank you? Huh? Did everyone turn to someone and say thank you? If you didn't, we're going to single you out. You see, those two little words raise the vibrational frequency of love. It is that simple. They raise that vibrational frequency of love, and in that vibrational frequency, your telomeres get a little bit longer. Did you know that? We're waiting for science to be able to prove that, but we bet they do. You see, that part in the innate, that is the brain, is directly connected to your heart. And just saying thank you opens the heart. You know, if you say thank you to some stranger because, you know, maybe they gave you change at the market, their heart opens. If you look at them for a moment and just say thank you. Thank you for your service. I saw Marilyn has started saying thank you for your service in Walmart. They're not quite sure how to take her. But now when she goes up to Walmart and talks to the clerk, they know who she is and they smile back at her and say, thank you. Can you imagine? Oh, let us imagine what the whole world would be like if everyone just said, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being here. Thank you for choosing to be here. That may throw them over the edge, yes? I mean, I don't know how I chose to be here. And then you can just smile and say, you will. And then they'll wonder what you're up to. But it will still open their hearts. You see, you are the ones we are waiting for. You are the ones. It is not someone in some other dimensional realm. We have many people that come up to us and tell us all wonderful stories about the dimensions that they live in or wish to be in. And it's always a bit of a shock to them that they're here on this planet Earth. You chose to be here. We have waited for you to come here so this planet can evolve its consciousness on a mass level, a massive scale. And do you know who's in charge of that? Ah, yes, we heard someone say, you are. Not us. You are. We are in charge of our part of it, just as you are in charge of your part of it. So we ask you to stay connected, as our dear friend Master Kryon said. We ask you to stay connected. We ask you to look into people's eyes and connect with them and honor them and thank them. If they brought you an energy, a trigger point, a button that they pushed that you thought, well, that was not much fun. How do I thank you for that service? But, oh, we have to watch that bot, don't we? And if you do realize that even when they push your buttons, even when they trigger what something in you that you're still holding on to, they are your teacher. They volunteered for that position. And you volunteered to learn that in this time so you don't ever have to learn it again. Wouldn't you like all those lessons to be done? We can quote Kryon, and so it is. Intention is everything. Everything is energy. Intention is everything. So be aware of what you're creating. And just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your service. We love you so much. We are here for you in Chicagoland. We are here on this planet for you. We are grateful. Thank you. Namaste.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. Earlier in the day, I told you that there will be an eye-rolling channel tonight. Well, it's tonight for you. The terminology of eye rolling means things that seem odd, strange, and perhaps only a few might believe in. You be the judge. I am one who has told you many times of the beauty of the life in your galaxy, that someday you will see it and understand it and look backwards and say how foolish you were to think you were alone. That the odds are in favor, greatly in favor, of not just intelligent life, but more mature life. We have told you before that the human race is only 200,000 years old, the ones with 23 chromosomes. and that there's life in this universe, but specifically in this galaxy that you can see. You can see their homes with your telescopes, not that far away, that have cultures a lot older than yours. And some of them have had the same tests on their planets that you have. Some of them have graduated into benevolence. Some of them have actually gone past corporeal form into the physics of consciousness. You heard it. Consciousness is physics. There is energy in consciousness. That has been a recent discovery of only 20 years ago. It means that consciousness is a player in the energy field, and you've got to treat it as energy. Can consciousness alone exist as life? If it's an energy with life, perhaps it doesn't even need a corporeal form. That's correct. The planet is filled with stories that are spiritual about the visitation of angels. It's all through your scriptures, all scriptures. Doesn't matter what your belief system is, there's a time of angels, and the angels will come and they'll give messages. The depiction of them in art almost always, interestingly enough, as women. And in that, they would be beautiful, tall, large. Let me introduce you to a Pleiadian, because that's what they're seeing, dear ones, and always have. A non-corporeal form which has the image in your mind that it is, and that is of a humanoid, beautiful and tall and female, who have come to this planet over and over as your seeds, as your guardians, as your helpers, and show up to give guidance and information. Moses talked to a Pleiadian, dear ones. These are the things that someday you'll figure out. And you'll say, they've always been here. What do you think of a society, a culture, a planet that's gone through what you've gone through and has a million years start on you? Where would they be? If they had their shift, if they went through consciousness as energy and they started evolving thousands of years, where would they be? And the answer is they would be so high in vibration, so multidimensional, they wouldn't need ships to come here. They could think their way to this planet because they have an attribute which is close to God. And that is what an angel looks like to you in three dimensions with the maturity level that you have now in 3D. Still a warring culture you are in an age that is still barbaric. Looking up to something you think must be divine, not understanding that it is in some ways just like you are. But it's the divine complement of an ascended being from another planet who has gone through so much. We told you that the Pleiadians, when they came here, they had a history that involved not one planet, but more than two. We told you that in their warring state and in their technology, they had even seen genocide that was planetary-wide. Welcome to the idea of Star Wars. And we say again, where do you think that came from? And yet, with that kind of history and that kind of darkness, with thousands of years of going through that and going to zero and starting again and going to zero and starting again, they finally got it right. And this is what an ascended planet looks like, and there are many in this galaxy who will look at you and who've helped you from many places. There are those who have seeded them. They're your grandparents, your seed grandparents. You have Octorians. You want to know who they are and why they're here. It's all part of a grander system of benevolence and love. Meanwhile, here you are. An eye-rolling proposition, perhaps. But those with an open mind, even those who are perhaps invested in a spiritual system, can see the sense of that. And perhaps it would not interfere even with the traditions and the rules when you start to understand the reality of what might have taken place. You might think it's insulting if I say that at the moment, the cultures on this planet are like children, learning about spirituality and applying their own human rules to who God must be. God turns out to have a human mind, you might say. Check it out. Take a look at the doctrines and the religions of the day. God has a human mind. That's a God who will then torture you if you don't do the right thing. Send your soul to a dirty place. How is that for the highest love that may exist anywhere? How is that for compassion beyond compassion? And you'll start to see, well, maybe we got it wrong. But this can, we'll call truth of spirituality, is starting to open. And now I'll tell you another story about the Pleiadians. There was always a plan, dear ones, a plan that centered around a marker. The marker was this wobble of the planet. That was the set. There's nothing spiritual about the wobble. That was just the marker. ...26,000 years was the last marker. Things happened at other markers. You didn't make it. We've told you this before. There have been other civilizations on this planet who had the same test you had and didn't make it on your planet. That's why your sociologists look at you and say you're only 6,000 years old as a civilization, not understanding. There were many before you, up to four others. But the current marker, this one, 2012. And this is the intuition that the indigenous throughout this planet felt at the intuitive level. Even those without telescopes, those who didn't understand planetary motion, knew about the wobble. They could see it in the stars. They had plenty of time to look. That's what they did at night, dear ones, before electricity. They looked at the stars. They started measuring where they were in very clever ways and noticed that over a long period of time, they move. And that's when they realized that this planet had to be wobbling at some way or shifting in some way, and they computed where the center of that wobble had to be in time. 2012 was the time. The Mayan calendar, 5,125-year-old calendar, ended at the wobble center. What a coincidence, you might say. They knew, and so did others. Many, all around this earth, way before you arrived as a modern civilization, were looking at the marker. So what about that marker? If you made it, Would something else change? Why would humanity suddenly start evolving in their maturity level, in their spirituality, in their revelation of truth? Why would they become more transparent? Why would there be more benevolence? What happened at 2012 that would cause this? What's the causality factor? And that is the question that so many would ask of this very esoteric information that said the shift has happened. If you study the attributes that are finite in the Mayan predictions of 2012, they will say this, that it would be the beginning of the highest consciousness that humanity had ever had. But they don't say why. What's the causality factor? That what would push that? Or would it simply happen because of a time? And the answer is no, it doesn't happen because of a time. There has to be something else. Light is winning. Why? I'll tell you about the plan. Years ago, in a very short amount of time, I identified something called the nodes and the nulls of the planet. They've been recorded. You can see them. They are places you would not necessarily pick that are sacred. But the nodes especially represent 12 places where the Pleiadians landed and started that which was the conversion of 24 to 23 chromosomes on the planet, the creation story, the Adam and Eve story, the time when they arrived and imbued in you knowledge of a creator, taking you from being animals to being creatures with souls. This is controversial. But who could do that? And the answer is an angelic presence, a beautiful angelic presence. And there were many of them. And they were all women, dear ones, because they had to give birth. And slowly, very slowly, the beginning of a divinity-based human being with souls started on this planet. That is the Adam and Eve story. It's beautiful. Garden of Eden is the planet. As my partner has said many times, Adam, every man, Eve, every woman. The knowledge of what you would call good and evil, which is not that, it's simply dark and light, and the freedom to choose it was given to you. Free choice. In some circles, in some beliefs, again, the children's story will tell you that God gave you free choice and then immediately judged you on your choice. And of course, you paid for that because every human from then on with a beautiful soul from God is born dirty. That's the story. How does it sound? And you realize that doesn't sound exactly correct. It isn't. Every human on this planet continues to be born with a soul, magnificent, empowered. Unless you're told otherwise. The nodes and the nulls represented a system for the future. It's a system that the Pleiadians put here because they had a system given to them by the ones who seated them. They knew how it worked. These nodes and nulls, over time, became time capsules. And we've told you about that. Now, a node and a null is a push-pull energy. And we've described that in several channels before. It pushes and pulls energy in a certain direction for certain reasons. There's always polarity in physics. So if you're going to change the consciousness potential of a planet, you're going to have a system that has polarity because it's physics. strong and weak force is there, node and null, because there's going to come a time when you're going to start vacuuming out the old energy and replacing it with the light. And that is only going to happen if the free choice of a culture of humanity, billions strong, is going to make it past a predetermined marker, 2012. The nodes and the nulls were positioned as time capsules. Your idea of a time capsule is a capsule which includes things from a certain time. That is not what they did. It's called a time capsule because it's a capsule, both node and null, 24, which would open at the right time, 2012. And in that, they would start a process that would begin to put a potential in the field that you could sense and feel, that brought you up, that lifted you up. Because for the first time, you had a goal that you'd never seen before. Imagine, again, that you're a black and white individual looking for the first time at color. Would you be interested? Oh, yes, you would. Oh, yes, you would. And we've used this metaphor so many times to say color is coming to the planet. It's a metaphor that means that the dimensionality that you think is consciousness is going to shift. And when it does, that means the paradigm of thinking is going to shift. So to the futurist, here is the message for today. You cannot go back to the old consciousness and decide what's happening tomorrow. You see, those time capsules have opened, and already you start to sense it. Already you start to see culture change. Already you see benevolence when there wasn't there before. I'll tell you, when the light turns on, you see stuff that's dirty in the corner. Let me ask you, has it always been there, or did it just appear? And the answer is, it's always been there. And there's a lot of it. Let's get specific with something, and I want to show and tell. And I hope that you'll take this correctly. I'm not giving predictions, dear ones. I'm giving examples. If you have a greater complexity of maturity, you're not going to have the kinds of knee-jerk reactions that you did in the past to things which you fear. Shall we say that again? With a complexity and maturity of a new kind of light thinking that is being pumped into this grid of every kind on the planet, whether it's the crystalline or the magnetic, that's what's going on, a multidimensional energy that allows you to have increased consciousness maturity, you're not going to then make the same decisions that you made in an older one. Unless that's what you're going to do because of fear. So let's talk about some things like that. Let's get more specific, because the real purpose of this channel, I can state in just a few sentences. Dear ones on this planet at this time, get ready for change. Some of it may be frightening to you, but it's only frightening because you saw things like it in the past and you think those things are going to happen again. Don't let what happened in the past tell you what's going to happen in the future, because you're moving into color and you only had black and white back then. One of the things that everyone in this country would be afraid of, which many say is happening, would be trouble with the financial system. It's in the field, and you can feel it. There are even books now being written. The competition of the books is, who has the worst scenario? Go buy the worst one. That's the one that's going to make you feel good. That in itself is an old energy method of sales. Do you recognize this? Now, the odd thing is that they're all based upon the same set of predictions, circumstances, revelations, and that is the financial system that you have right now, American, is starting to be stressed. And the stress comes from inappropriateness. So what do? You immediately reflect on 1929, don't you? And you say, here it comes again. Runaway inflation, savings which won't amount to anything anymore, food that'll cost 10 times what it did yesterday. Because that's what happened. And it's not only happened here, it's happened all over the planet when certain circumstances come to a place that some are saying you're coming to. So here's where it gets good. Number one warning, a change of consciousness. You have the choice. Go into fear, compare it what happened again, and get ready. There is something in the field, a confluence, if you want to call it, of coherence. If enough people think a certain way, that's what you're going to get. So if there are enough people in fear, that's what you're going to get. What you fear. But if there are some, and it doesn't take many to show a light in the darkness, if there are some who say, well, that's not going to happen this time, and there will be others that say, well, why not? You're crazy. It happened the last time. Look at the circumstances the same. You say, yes, but there are things happening that you don't know about. And that's when they pat you on the head and say, you must have gone to a crying meeting. I want to give you some examples. This is not the future, dear ones. This is examples. Things you didn't expect. How do you like your politics? Did you expect it? Either side, dear ones, I'm not talking about that party you belong to. I'm talking about what's happening right now in your government. Do you see things not working well? That may break as well. We've given you information that it doesn't have to fail because new ideas may come forward, a different way of electing a president. Instead of winner take all, you elect a compromiser. You elect somebody who's wise, who doesn't belong to either party. You elect perhaps a centrist who has to prove they're a centrist and see good things on both sides in order to solve the issue. Instead of a winner-take-all for 4 years or 8 years. You see, you think out of the box. So instead of complete and utter failure and collapse, what you have is a new idea. A new idea that takes hold because it's filled with light. And because you say, yeah, that makes sense. Instead of, that'll never work. So you got to get past the number of that'll never work people to those who say, look, there's a new idea here. Let me give you a bizarre, bizarre example. This is not a prediction. Let me just show you what this might look like. Let's pretend for a moment. Just pretend that someone decides to open Fort Knox and shine a light inside. And let's pretend, just pretend for a moment, this is not a prediction, dear ones, that there's no gold in it. Now, instantly, the reaction will be this. We are a gold-based society. My dollar is based in some way to some value somewhere else, and it's not there. And you'll ask the government, well, what happened to it? And they say, well, we sold it about 15 years ago. Nobody knows about it. And so what happens next? Well, total financial collapse, of course, unless somebody else comes up and says, excuse me, there's another currency in place. Did you know about this other currency? It's not the one you're used to. It's not the greenback. It's something else here. But you know what? We guarantee it. We guarantee it because the perception is, here's what it's worth, and we're going to start trading there. You can throw away your dollars. We'll give you a dollar for this or that. And suddenly you find yourself in a whole nother area of currency because another one was already there that made sense. And you go, okay. So instead of complete and total collapse, there's an integration. There's an adjustment. Perhaps not exactly comfortable, but it's not 1926. Because there was something unexpected that took place. Imagine a currency that's valued because you want it to be something, because you all agree on what it's worth. Could something like that exist? How would you feel if you were a European country and you'd had a certain currency all your life, and suddenly they say, well, we're going to give you another one? Now, it may not be the same as the one that you're... In fact, it may be a little less value. You're going to have some problems. Do you know how many countries took the euro? Do you know that was not predicted? A united Europe? You're not going to find that in Scripture, dear ones. Some will say, well, it's not quite united. You know, it's far more united than it was. And you don't have to report anymore when you go from country to country. And there's no money changers there anymore from country to country. That is thinking out of the box. And no European 50 years ago would have said that was possible. Oh, it's not perfect. It's in transition, if you've noticed. It has to be integrated as well to new ideas that may come. Most of the problems you're going to find in the financial difficulties have to do with banks. The one in 2008, bank-related. The one that some see coming, bank-related. This is not a prediction. It's another thinking out of the box. What if suddenly you discovered that what banks did with their money was not quite what they said? What if you discovered that there is an actual system that allows them to create dollars where there were none before through what some of you would call the shell game? It's here, it's there, or it's not, or it's in transition, therefore it is. What if they find out that the actual worth of what you were told was something wasn't? What would that do to the economy? Well, there were those who would say, well, it's 1926 again, 1929, the culmination. And you're going into the same kind of difficulty. So let's paint another picture. What if somebody said, well, yes, but I have an idea, I have an answer. What if the banks right now, instead of failing, had to do something, and they will, that's bizarre and benevolent? Because they're going to admit, yes, they've done this, but now they're going to take all that money that still exists, and they're going to do something with it. Everybody who has an account will now have health care benefits. And you'll say, wait a minute, governments do that, banks don't. Really? I want you to think about this for a moment. That is a paradigm shifter, is it not? And that is something that may say, well, wait a minute, we might not be going into a recession like in 29. Because look, there are some new ideas here, and the banks themselves are going to make it right in some way. It may be difficult, but it's not going to be what you expect. You see, there's an integration of a new concept, new ideas, things that nobody has thought of yet, including the government. Do I have to give more examples for you to see where I'm going? There are things you don't expect with ideas that don't exist. that may come along at the right time and the right place, so the integration of the change that you are going through, American, will not be that difficult. And the biggest thing right now that will make the difference is, how much do you fear it? How many of you are invested in 1929? How many of you believe that the Keynesian idea of the economy is the only idea? That capitalism only works one way, and when it breaks, it breaks? Or are there interim steps that you didn't know that are new, that may become elegant capitalism? More of a win-win situation that's ever been here before, that starts very slowly to eliminate that vast void between wealthy and poor. That exists because all it needs is tweaking. It needs tweaking with permission from those in charge who have to answer to you who are seeing light. Do you see how this is working? We've told you before, there come a day when politicians will be elected with how sweet and benevolent they really are, instead of how much attack they can have on the opponent. That is going to start showing up, and you're going to go for it, because you're going to start seeing, I want this man, this woman, because they don't assassinate those who run against them. In fact, they congratulate them. They're both running with differences, but they're both patriots. What a concept. And they both stand on a pulpit in a debate. And the first thing they will say is, I want to celebrate my opponent, because here's the things they've done for this planet and for this country. And they will list them. And then, I've got other ideas. I think my ideas are better. But it doesn't start with, guess who they slept with yesterday. You may even call that barbaric politics someday. Making up things, passing them around, annihilating someone's honesty when they really have it. These are the things you don't expect, dear ones, and they're in your future. How much do you fear them? Don't judge what's going to happen on what has happened before. Expect benevolent change, but there will be change. There has to be, because some systems are out of integrity. They cannot exist in a place where their color is coming. They can't. This country is the one that has the best tools for change. And so you may see it first. How afraid are you? Or how many of you can say, I'm alive at the right time to see something nobody ever thought would happen, cleaning up banking. I'm alive to see something that would never happen and cleaning up politics. I'm alive for something I never thought would happen. The impossible. Is at your feet. It's your lineage, old soul. Leave here thinking differently than you came. And so it is.